Hello everybody, my name is Brendan Lutz and welcome to the AfriCast. It is not Wednesday, but joining me in studio is Robin Chetty.
How's it?
And Clinton Matos.
Hello again everybody.
We have a silent member as well.
But she's not saying anything.
She's on the spot.
Sorry, Nokulunga. You may have seen her on the site. She's a new member to the Hypertext team. Be sure to check out her articles and we will be featuring her on the podcast very soon.
Next week, she's
aware of it. At least it's not a massive surprise. Next week, probably, most likely. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Fine. Nothing's burned down. The world's still spinning, depending on when you're listening to this. Maybe in a nuclear bunker somewhere and you somehow got this on a hard drive. But yeah, things are fine.
And yourself, Roman?
Yeah, not too bad. I just came back from Cape Town.
Yeah, rainy Cape Town.
Yeah, they're complaining about the weather there. Apparently, it's my fault.
What's going on there?
So there was a Gartner Symposium, but in terms of the weather, I think on the final day it was snowing on Table Mountain.
Snowing.
It started off really rainy and drizzly in the morning, then the sun came out, and then it was cold and that. So kind of the whole spectrum in one day.
Wow. That's hilarious because it just suddenly became the middle of summer in the last few days. Yeah, it's just like the world was like, no, it's summer now.
They say you in Cape Town, you experience like four seasons every day.
That's right.
I didn't realize that you would be experiencing a Canadian winter as well. Anyway, let's bring things a bit closer to home. Last week was the first ever Comic-Con in Africa.
Yeah.
Not just South Africa, Africa at large, with Comic-Con Africa. And I was there for a very short amount of time because it just... I'm not saying it was terrible. It's just not my scene. Like, there's a lot more focus on like cosplay and comic books and that sort of stuff. And I want games and technology.
Mm. There was actually a surprising amount of that, but we'll get into that
now. So
Robin and I were there the whole day Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you go back?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. I had no, I had schoolwork to do. Otherwise, I would have gone back. Just because this is something we're going to, well, let's just get into it. So, Yes.
The first thing I want to ask you is, was the parking as bad as everybody said?
Yes, it was terrible. Unless you had... So the VIP section, I don't know if that was for like guests, like the VIP, the celebrity guests, or if it was also for the people who bought VIP tickets.
I think it was for both.
So there was close parking. That was fantastic. But I had a 15-minute walk in the blazing sun on Friday morning.
Mm.
Through like dust and everything. It wasn't fun.
The Kyle Army racetrack.
Yeah, it was actually terrible. And my heart really goes out to people who drove to the place in like full cosplay and then had to walk through the sun. I would have been real angry and I have no idea why they didn't have shuttles. They didn't charge for parking like they do at Rage and some other places. But you were getting what you paid for. I would have 100% paid 20 rand.
Closer.
No, just to, like for them to have like a little shuttle,
like a little golf cart.
Yeah, just to take you back and forth.
It's really strange.
They should have offered that for the people in cosplay. They should have said, if you're in the cosplay contest, we'll have golf carts going back and forth.
But I mean, it's really strange because about a couple of weeks before Comic-Con, or I think it was even the week before Comic-Con, they had the Festival of Speed at Kyle Army.
Yeah.
And there they had golf carts that were ferrying people to the venue. So I don't know, maybe it was just something that the organizers didn't think about. It's the first one, so I'm hesitant to say, why didn't you think about this? I mean, the first time you do something, you don't realize, and I think they know now.
So you're asking because you also had a long walk, right?
No, because I got dropped off. Walked, so that wasn't an issue for me.
Yeah, and you, Robin?
Yeah, it's hard for me to gauge. I got there pretty early. Kind of because I live across the road from the racetrack.
A closer parking.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were lucky enough to get media passes, so we shot past the lines and everything.
So I, even though I had a media pass, I didn't have it when I arrived, so they wouldn't let me into the parking. They're like, who are you? But then I know some people like Brett, our editor-in-chief, he managed to like bluff his way inside. He did have a media pass, and he was actually media and an exhibitor because he was in charge of a panel that was happening there. But he didn't have a pass on him, and he just talked his way in. So maybe that's a lesson to me.
Nobody else listen to this advice, please. Yeah. No. These are secrets that we want to keep under wraps.
No, but for like, that doesn't excuse the fact for 99% of the people visiting, it was a, it was a bad walk. And just, again, for the cosplay, cosplay is such a big draw of these things. Yeah. And they really did them, they did them dirty.
So let's talk a bit about the actual con. I was about to say expo, but it's not an expo. Let's talk about the con itself. You guys were there a lot longer than I was. The vibe was really, really awesome. Yeah. Like,
that was, I mean, it felt electric in there, but it felt more, I don't know, exciting, the like vibe in the air than compared to the other ones that have been happening in the country. And I think this is because it's new and exciting and everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, I must commend the organizers. I mean, I personally butted heads with the organizers one or two times in the build up to Comic-Con. And I was really worried. But when I got there and saw what it was like and how just excited everybody was and like the way things had been laid out, and it was really fantastic. Even for the short time that I was there, it was really fantastic.
And I kind of like the what's called the Kyalami Expo Center, whatever the actual building is called. I kind of like the fact that it's three separate levels
and segmented.
Yeah, I think on Rage where it's just like one massive thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of easy to get lost. I also have no sense of direction, so that's maybe just a problem for me. But when it's just like a big thing, it's a bit hard, it's a bit easy to get lost. And I know walking upstairs in a crowded convention hall isn't ideal, but I kind of like the three like tiers that they had. It made it easy in my mind to find my way around, and I'd walked around there a lot getting stuff for the site, trying to find cosplay. So let's talk about Rage. We're not going to diverge there. We have to talk about the comparisons between Comic-Con Africa and Rage, because they're so close to each other, and it feels like they did so much in common. So, okay, I'll start. I want to talk about the panels, because for me, the panels and bringing in celebrity guests was a big differentiator between the two events, until some big-name celebrities had to pull out for a lot of reasons.
Oh, come on.
Falcon. Man, okay, I won't get into that, but
Alpha Vampire.
So there was a lot of cool stuff going on. It wasn't just celebrities. They had like the CG artist who did that teaser. I don't know what it was, what they call it. It wasn't a trailer, whatever it was for Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
The CG artist came from Cape Town. Did like entire crew who created Moosebox, which we'll talk about later. That's something really cool. It's a South African animation, the first one that's going to be on Nickelodeon. They had a lot of cool stuff, which wasn't just, hey, I'm a celebrity, come speak to me.
Yeah.
For me, that's the biggest differentiator, because the two events were surprisingly similar. There was, I mean, you said I'm more interested in games and tech, but there was a hell of a lot of it.
Yeah.
I think somebody coming from an overseas Comic-Con would be surprised by the presence of so much games and tech. And so to me, the panels was the biggest differentiator and the new setting. I don't know if you guys share that sentiment.
Yeah, I kind of had mixed feelings about the whole setup there. I kind of like the fact that it's three different levels, but I would prefer it if it was a bit more kind of segmented. So I guess all the gaming guys were in one area, and then more of the comic book focused people in one area.
100% agree.
Because like I would, if you kind of enter the main area, there's a whole bunch of game stands up there for big titles like Spider-Man and Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And then if you head up to another level, there's like Lenovo and Acer, Acer's Predator lineup. They had their own kind of stands as well. So I get the fact that you kind of go to different areas and you get a bit of everything in every area.
Yeah.
But I would actually prefer more of a bit more
like
segmentation.
This is tabletop gaming. This is comics. Yeah. This is the tech people.
I think they were kind of I don't know if they could have done that, because I think they sell space.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And then they have to, it's like Amazon. Why did you send me an SD card in a huge meter by meter box? It's because we pack according to what's in the truck, not what you ordered. I think they were hamstrung by the amount of people and who bought the amount of space. So I don't want to like kill your criticism, but I think instead of ordering it like that, what they should have done is had a better floor map, because I know everybody who read that floor map that came in the little book they gave you said it was terrible. I couldn't find my way around anything. Mm. So I think it's actually impossible for them to order it a bit better, but they should have given us a better floor plan, especially for like the first year, because I know like Rage, I think you can walk through Rage blind now because it's usually the same exhibitors every year.
Telcom's huge stand in the middle, although I don't know if they're going to be there this year given
that. Okay, so that's, we're getting a bit off topic talking about Rage, but Rage. I spoke to some people you said, okay, this wasn't exhibited, it was people. We said, but like, I don't live in Joburg. Yeah. I flew here, I paid to come here.
Yeah.
I can't now afford to go to Rage as well. I don't think I'm missing out. And I think some exhibitors are going to do that as well. Maybe some of the small ones. I don't know about the big ones, but it's going to be really interesting to go to Rage after Comic-Con and then next year, seeing what happens.
Yeah.
So we're being a bit negative. What did we like about Comic-Con? I really liked the panels. The cosplay was great, even though there was kind of more of the visitors than the organizers and the exhibitors. I also, the artist alley, I felt was actually like bigger than it was at Rage. I don't know how, I don't know if you guys even pay attention to Artist Alley when you go to either one.
Yes, I do. Like at Rage, it's always such, it always feels so claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Like it's so small and tight, and there's like 100 people walking through there in both directions. So you don't really have time to stop and look at stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Like the one at Comic-Con was way better. It was easier to navigate.
Are you guys talking about that big white tent that on that side?
That was I don't know if they called it Artist Alley, but that was Artist Alley.
Yeah, that was great, except it was crazy hot in there.
Yeah. Yes. So,
so if it's better ventilated, then yeah, it makes
I don't know if you saw, they had like huge, literally like air, I don't know what they called. There were giant fans outside blowing air into it, but it wasn't enough. It was really hot in there. I feel sorry for everybody was stuck there, but giving just like having more square meterage to display South African stuff is fantastic. Like everybody's like, oh, I'd love to read a book or a comic book made in South Africa. In South Africa, it's like they're right there, but again, you have to get to the thing and everything.
Yeah.
I want to try. I'm not promising anyone reading this, but I want to try
reading.
Well, you read the little text that comes before this podcast, Brendan. I want to do a big feature on, I want to get like $1,000 or whatever, and I want to go buy every piece that the people are offering in terms of books, and then I want to do a video review on everything that's there. I think that'll be really cool. Even if I say like, oh, I'll give this a 4 out of 10 or whatever, at least like I'm supporting the artist by buying it there. And also there were two I saw South African comics. So the first one that's been around for a while, it's called Kwezi, right?
I think so, yeah.
Brent, you nodding. I don't know if you...
Yeah, there was that dude that also dressed
up. Yeah, there was a cosplayer. But they had a Comic-Con exclusive. I think it was issue 10. They had one printed and it was selling at the exclusive book stand.
Oh, that I was not aware of.
They might have been sold out by the time you saw. No, you were there on Friday. You might have seen them. Maybe, so if you were there and you didn't see it, it might have been sold out. And then there was another South African comic. I apologize to the artist and the writer. I didn't get the name of it because it was such a popular stand. It was so packed that I wanted to sit down and speak to them. I couldn't. But they had an issue 1, 2, and 3, I think. I'm going to definitely get something about them on the site. They had a first edition, and I think they also have a Comic-Con exclusive. And again, that's tying into, you know, this is something special. Comic-Con is an international brand, and seeing something made in South Africa that says Comic-Con exclusive on it, you get a little bit of, like, nationalistic pride. Right?
Yeah, that's
makes
pretty...
makes you feel cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though I really hate con exclusives,
yeah,
but I think for something South African,
it's special.
It's okay.
You know,
not like flipping Lego.
I mean, if we start getting like South African or Comic-Con Africa exclusive Funko Pops, like as much as I loathe Funko Pops, I
will
buy them.
People fly here, dude.
Yeah,
I'll buy one too, even if it's expensive.
Because you sell that stuff on eBay for millions.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to buy those exclusives. It wasn't in the budget for this month. I'm sorry. I had to buy boring textbooks, so I didn't have the money to support them. But next year when there's another thing, or at Rage when there's those local artists, I'm going to buy you guys out and I'm going to make a video about it.
And can I just say, like, at the moment I walked into the venue, like, all... oh, these are the international celebrities, just faded away. Like, I just didn't care anymore. Like, it's not to say, oh, I didn't care about the people giving panels, but I was just like yeah,
you're focused on the local stuff.
Exactly. It's not even about the international celebrities. Like, I don't really care much if Jason Momoa was there, I don't think I would have even like blinked.
Gone to the panel. Yeah,
yeah, because like what are you going to tell me that Justice League was the greatest movie ever made? Like, no, go away.
Well, but I wouldn't say it to his face, but
I would, because it'd make a great story.
Just a stare.
I got slapped by Jason Momoa.
I can imagine the YouTube's the thumbnail now. Story time, not clickbait.
So, but I think one of the other things that really surprised me was how much people were into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just think back to when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago. It's in the double digits, so maybe it is that long ago. But I just think back to that era, and nobody would have been amped for Comic-Con. The amount of cosplay that we saw would not have been a reality.
Well, I'm a little bit different. I think people would have been amped for Comic-Con when I was in high school. I think they would have been amped, but they would never have expected it would happen.
Yeah.
It would have been one of those pipe dreams, like, oh, I wish this would come to South Africa. So maybe that's where we differ and everything, but I think a lot of people, like my age group, are just absolutely surprised and elated that it came here.
But, I mean, that's what, like, I love how people just dove into it. Mm. Like, I've seen so many stories of people saying, yo, I saw a whole family dressed in cosplay. And I was like, what? That's so awesome.
I mean, the story I wrote about the cosplay at Comic-Con, there was I don't know their relation to each other, but there was a group of four people dressed as the Flintstones. Oh, it was
your story, yes.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if they were a couple, or I don't know the relationship between the four people, but seeing group stuff is always... No, don't say that. I can get in trouble for saying that, dude. I don't know what the relationship between those nice people were, but they let me take a picture and use it for the story. And I also saw other group cosplays. And there was actually a family cosplay, but I can't remember who they were.
And I mean, just some of the creativity and the... Like, my favorite image from Friday was Mario.
Oh, Mario. So
that guy was amazing.
So you'll have to like go to our cosplay story and scroll a bit, but there was a guy who, I don't know what you'd call it, Pimp Mario, I think it was, or something. He
looked so cool.
A lot of people on Twitter said that was their favorite thing. And also on so I posted our story around, and I think it was on Imgur. The two favorite cosplays was the Obelisk.
Yeah, that was Asterix crazy.
And Obelisk. That guy was so cool. And then the Pimp Mario were the two favorites.
Yeah, and I think also on Imgur, somebody said they'd never seen somebody cosplay Obelisk or Obelix. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I read those comics. But that was what was so amazing to me. I mean, the guy who did the cosplay of Predator. My goodness.
I don't think he was there.
He was there on Saturday.
Okay, I didn't see that
but
one.
But it was flooded social media. It was so good.
Did you see the Space Marine walking around? Was he there on Saturday?
I was there on Sunday.
Oh, so well, did you clarify. See it? I don't recall seeing it. I have seen it in our story. It's so cool. The guy's like, I don't think he's actually that tall. I think his costume gives him height, but he's like 7 foot tall, like 2 meters.
He's
wearing homemade power armor, and it's really cool.
What's amazing to me is how many cosplayers, and not just how many there were, but how many good cosplayers there were. Like, I think, I've been to Geek Fest, I've been to Rage, I've never been to Icon, we've all been to all of them.
But
I've never seen the amounts of detail in cosplay. Like, sometimes you go to Rage and you can clearly spot the people who are going to win the contest. But just looking through some of the photos that I saw, I could not believe
that. So the best example of this is probably the one on Friday. So on Friday it wasn't the big cosplay contest, it was a smaller one.
Yeah.
So the winner was a little girl who was Aloy
from she was
Horizon
so cute.
Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
All the cosplay people were so happy to see someone so young involved in it.
And her costume was legit.
It was so good.
So legit.
I should have gotten a name, done an interview or something. But again, that's in our story and you can check it out. A lot of people were hyped about that. And just to go another international perspective, this was another comment on Imgur. So on that site, cosplay posts like mine are very popular. A lot of people post that from this was, my local con.
Yeah.
They said it was refreshing to see that it looked like these people were doing it for the fun of it and for the passion. When you have these international ones, it feels like they're filled with a lot of professionals.
Yeah.
And it's not less genuine because the professionals are usually the people who are also passionate.
Yeah.
I mean, they've turned it into a profession. And at Comic-Con Africa, they actually had a professional cosplayer who they brought in. But, it does your heart good to see someone being happy about something. You get secondhand happiness. And people are saying it's good to see something that was homemade and it wasn't like a $1,000 professional thing. People very positive about it, even though there were some not racist, but there were some comments about ignorance towards South Africa in those comments. I'm not going to link to Imgur just because I don't think it's going to do anyone any good to read bad comments. But I'm very stoked about I'm happy to next year. So I want to say to the Reed exhibitors, or however you pronounce
exhibitions.
It. I think you guys did a great job.
Yeah, well done.
Like Brendan said, don't I'm going to give people a spike. I was listening on headphones. A lot of us were very skeptical. I think you guys, you did a great job. I have personal complaints. Some people saying should have done this, should have done that. But I think you guys did a good job for your first rodeo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
fantastic. But listen, I know it's going to be some time between it. If you guys have the budget, please, everyone was saying this, make the theme Wakanda. Because we are in Africa.
Please.
You don't need the international actors, because a lot of the actors were from Africa.
Yeah.
Get the African actors who are in Black Panther and have them at Comic-Con Africa.
Imagine.
And if you can get the rights from Marvel to theme it after Wakanda, do that. It's a no-brainer. I can't believe you didn't do it for the first one. Please. So you will get, this between us, you will get so many people coming from overseas, tourism into the country, paying in dollars, if you put out that there's going to be, you know, quote unquote, actual Wakanda in Africa. Please do that for the theme next year. It's a no-brainer.
I mean, you
please.
Can even do the entrance like a sort of...
The huge panther face. They had one of those there. I think it was another company who was doing a photo op session. Make a huge... I don't know what you'd make it out of, paper mache or something. Make a huge panther face and people walk through that and put some fog and make it like a jungle. People will lose their minds. Please.
And then something I want to point out, the thing that stood out like a sore thumb for me was all the esports.
Yeah.
I love esports. I love watching esports. I don't play esports. But there was a heavy, heavy focus on it there throughout the weekend. And I get it. VS Gaming was one of the major sponsors and they were holding their masters there, and it makes sense. But I don't know. Next year, I'd like to see a little less focus on esports. And
well, more focus on comics, because it's Comic-Con.
And merchandise and all that sort of, let's give the artists some space to show off, you know? Yeah. That's what I've always seen from Comic-Con internationally, is here's creators and artists coming together, and it's a space for you to meet them and talk to them and buy their products and support them. And I think that was there at this Comic-Con, definitely, that spirit was there. But I think it was kind of overshadowed by some of the esports. And I'm not saying, we shouldn't have esports at all. I think just put less of a focus on it.
Yeah.
Don't have everybody holding all their stuff. Like the Telkom DGL Masters, cool. Do that. You know, do your masters and your finals there. That's a great place to do it, because then you get all the people that want to see the finals as well as Comic-Con, but then maybe do it at a separate venue, you know? I don't know. I think it's just something that needs to be looked at a little bit closer. It just kind of feels comic books, gamers, professional esports. It just felt like that was the weirdest thing for me, the thing that stood out the most. I'm not saying that it ruined the con, because it didn't. It absolutely did not. I just felt like it was a little bit out of place, and yeah.
Yeah, and then another thing, if we're just talking about what do we want to change next year, so this is something, again, I don't think they can do just because of the problems with the physical building. The rooms that they have for the panels are on the small side.
Yeah.
They can only fit about 30 chairs and maybe 50 if you really cram. But if you are going to have panels with big international people, even big local people, it's going to be – a lot of people are going to be disappointed, because they do it on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah.
And you can't just have 50 people speaking to your headline act.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to solve that, because the panel rooms are so small. And the only other way around that is to move it to the main stage. And I don't know if that's a thing they can do. So next year, if you do take my advice and do the Black Panther thing, you will need to
increase the size of the panel rooms.
Yeah, or you will need to move those big events to the main stage. So that was Comic-Con Africa. You can check out our Twitter account, because there was a lot of stuff just we were live tweeting from there.
Mm.
Check out my cosplay roundup. And then
you got to meet one of the devs for Hitman 2, though, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I forgot. That was at Comic-Con. Yeah.
Well, not really the dev, but the guy kind of handles the kind of marketing promotion sites
for
the developer.
South African bloke, actually, isn't he?
I don't think so.
His name sounds very South African. His name's very South African. When it's like Tiens.
When I spoke to Tiens, unfortunately, it's not really South African accent that I pick up anyway.
Okay, all right. But you got to play the game a bit, right?
Yeah, so they had a big stand at Comic-Con, and there was a pre... alpha beta that was available to play.
Okay. Yeah, beta, yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah, so it's for the Miami mission.
Oh, yeah, the one with the racetrack, right?
Yeah, yeah, there've been a few trailers released for it, and you get to play that mission. And they also had the kind of sniper mini game that's also
fun. That thing is so awesome.
Which was also pretty cool. Yeah, so I got to play the game a bit, and yeah, it looks really immersive. So one of the big things they're kind of trying to punt is that you can essentially kill someone with anything. I mean, they kind of jokingly say you can kill someone with a fish if you want to.
I mean, in the...
Literally anything can kill someone.
In the... I can't say the first Hitman. I mean...
The latest Hitman.
The latest Hitman before Hitman 2. I mean, you can like go around smashing people with a can of Fruit Loops. Not Fruit Loops. Like pasta loops. Like canned pasta. I've seen people do that. Like
I think the criticism of that game though was that it was too boxed in. Like there were only certain things that you could do. Like the first mission was really good. I haven't played it because I don't have the patience for Hitman games. But I think one of the major criticisms there was that it was way too sandboxed in. And this one, I believe you say it's a lot more open.
Yeah, they've opened up the environment a bit more.
Yeah.
Obviously, we only played that Miami mission, so it's hard to say what the full game would be like.
Yeah,
but yeah. One of the nice aspects of it is this kind of instinct mode that you kind of toggle one of your
control. Witcher mode.
Yeah. So, and you can kind of see your environment, kind of see what you can interact with and what you need to take notice of. Oh, and cool. Always have a kind of like a view of your target. Cool. Yeah, so there are a few nice little elements that they add into it. And I think, like you said, I think patience will be a big thing in it.
Yeah.
If you are patient enough and you are able to be more inventive in the way you want to kill someone.
Yeah.
That sounds weird to say. Yeah.
Can I kill someone with a banana peel by leaving it on the floor and making them slip?
That I haven't tested out.
But I'm sure you could.
Man,
So this is a bit of a... the sniper assassin challenge thing, the mini game that you get if you pre-order the game, is a lot of fun. So it's the same scenario over and over again, but there's different achievements that you can unlock and things that you can do. And like myself and Dion Duplessis, who also writes for the site occasionally, him and I were playing it one night and we were chatting on Discord, and I was like, hey, dude, do you think we could kill people with that chandelier that's hanging there? And lo and behold, there's an achievement where you can kill all five of the targets that you're supposed to get rid of with the chandelier.
How big is that chandelier?
Pretty big. Jeez. But it requires so much patience because you've got to wait for all of them to be in one space before you do it. But it's just from that, I had so much fun playing that. I was like, oh man, I'd love to play this new game because I actually have patience now to try it out.
I'm a little bit older. I got like the wisdom of ages.
Okay, and then Clinton, you chatted to some folks at Moose.
So Moose Box is a South African-made animation that's going to come to Nickelodeon on the local DSTV and also internationally on the Nickelodeon app. And it's the first South African-made show of its kind that's going to get this kind of distribution. So I was at the panel. I don't know how much I can tell you guys. I got to see two episodes that haven't aired yet. So I'm not going to tell you what happened in those episodes. I'm going to tell you my impressions of them. They are fantastic. Now, they're only 2 minutes, so they're kind of like real quick fire. But if you've seen the trailer that I will include in the story, they are so heavily influenced by video games. It's almost like a video game show. Like they created a video game called Moose Box, and now I've based this the show inside of that world. I'm so impressed by it. Like, again, that nationalistic pride, watching that stuff was so... It was welling. It was so good. I can't wait for you guys to see it. The only part I can show you now is a pilot episode they did. Now, the pilot episode is actually completely not pixelated. It is pixel art. It's done in pixel art. But the real show is going to be traditional animation.
Okay.
2D. So that's if you love that pixel art, you can't do it. And I actually sat down and spoke with the creator, Mike Scott. Unfortunately, I can't give you that interview because the stuff happened with the audio. But I'm just going to relay some of the stuff he said. It couldn't be the pixel art as a full show for a few reasons. First of all, it's just too time consuming. They did most of their pixel art by hand.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, some people might say, oh, but in video games they use pixel. Yeah, but in video games that you don't need to redraw the character every time. You just make an animation loop and use that.
Mm-hmm.
He also said the much bigger reasons that it's taxing to watch pixel, that kind of pixel animation for a long period of time, even more than 2 minutes. It just, your eyes aren't used to it. And the normal animation just looks better for that application. If you even look at the logo of the game, it's based on like Sonic Sprite.
Yeah.
So we're going to get 20 episodes that are 2 minutes each as the first season. So, you know, if it does good, maybe we'll get longer episodes, maybe we'll get more seasons. I really encourage you guys to watch it.
And so you said it would be on Nickelodeon? On
the DSTV. Nickelodeon Nicktoons channel locally, and then internationally people get to watch it too because it's going to be on the Nicktoons app.
So how does it work then? So like, I know like in Cartoon Network, when I, back in Easter Watch back in the day, you would have, I guess, smaller independent cartoons airing between the bigger cartoons.
Well, so I don't know because they haven't announced the scheduling yet. Mm. So we're still waiting for the launch date and the scheduling. So
but it's definitely coming for sure.
They said they've done almost all of the episodes. I think they've got 2 episodes left to do. But I saw 2 episodes and they are done. They are complete products. This isn't like, it's actually funny. I'm going to the Disney showcase tonight where they show us some advanced stuff, which I can't tell you about at all. But sometimes when they show us that advanced stuff, it's sometimes just storyboards. It's sometimes no color. There's sometimes no sound. Well, no audio. It's just the voices. But this was finished. I didn't see an alpha or beta test screening. This was finished episodes that they're waiting to air. So it's like, this isn't a pipe dream. Are we going to get a South African animation on Nickelodeon? This is happening. We just need the release date. Cool. Another thing that's really cool, I don't know if this was part of the like story, they showed us the story Bible. I don't know if you guys have heard of those before. They showed us parts of it, and the world is broken up into zones, like a video game would be broken up into levels.
Like Green Hill Zone.
Yeah, and you know, like ice level, water level, fire level, stuff like that.
That's very cool. That's an interesting way to approach storytelling in a cartoon.
They really have leaned into the video game part of it.
And what's also interesting is that each episode is only 2 minutes long. I mean, it's like you get that video game sense with the levels as all those different zones. But then it's also not like tedious like watching a video game movie, which is
never
a good experience.
After you're going to see these 2 minute animations, you're going to say, I wish these were 11 minutes. Because or that's
30 minutes.
Thing. Well, no, the 11's the like next kind of like length. Matt, I really hope this becomes like, I'm watching this and you know people are like, oh, this could be the next big thing.
Yeah.
I think this could be the next big thing. maybe I'm a bit too enthusiastic. But
maybe you're a bit biased.
Because it's South Africa. Yeah. But I think when people see this, I think it's going to like catch like wildfire.
Okay.
I really think.
You think it's going to be like the next Rick and Morty?
I think it's going to be the next Adventure Time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And again, maybe this is because what I've seen, you guys haven't seen it yet. When you see it, the characters in the world are so good that I think it could be. So Mike Scott and the guys have made this, absolute congrats. This is so good. Sorry that audio got, I couldn't use it, Mike. But something I spoke to him as well, like I asked him, could we see like a Moose Box game maybe? Because it would be kind of like, circular, like it's based on video game stuff and then a video game. And he was talking to me like he's actually spoken to the local developers. He knows
Yamacorp.
Yeah, he knows the guys from there. He knows the guys from Free Lives and everything. He said that it could be a bit of a problem because usually when they make games for Nickelodeon stuff, Nickelodeon handles it themselves. But Mike said he could make something like outside of Moosebox just because he's so interested in games. He actually told me, I don't want to misquote you because again, I lost that audio, but he said like, I can't make games. I can make animation.
Yeah.
So I'd love to, this is paraphrasing him, I'd love to work with people who can make games and they can turn my stuff into games. And I hope we see this. I think Mike Scott is a South African treasure and we need to see more stuff from him. Again, I'm just so excited about Moosebox. I'll link to everything I have about it. You guys can give it a watch.
Cool.
So excited. I hope it's soon that it comes out. I hope it's before the year because I want to see the rest of the episodes. I'm thankful to Viacom and everybody who arranged that panel. That's what Comic-Con should be, getting this, like, not just for press, but for normal people, getting that that experience. Early stuff and the yeah. experience and the interaction with the local creators. That panel is exactly what I want Comic-Con Africa to be in the future. Yeah. Local stuff with international presence, because I mean Nickelodeon yeah. did, as far as I can tell, like commission these or pay. I don't know how animation funding works, but yeah. this is a Nickelodeon cartoon, but it's a South African production. That makes me very happy. That's exactly what I want from Comic-Con Africa. And I think that's the best way to wrap it up.
Yes, that's a really positive note.
Really excited for more events like this in South Africa. Really excited for Moosebox. And I'll 100% be at Comic-Con Africa, like in an official capacity here for media, as a fan, if I have more money next time around. And that's going to be it, everybody.
Please, Cyril Ramaphosa, fix our currency. we want to support our locals, but we don't have the money to do that. Yeah. So please. Right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We're pushing time here. So from myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio. From Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Chetty.
Cheers.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.